The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, let's jump right into unwrapping the gifts. Today we're talking about vocal gifts, and the vocal gifts that we're... Of course, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. We've put the gifts in three different categories. This category is the vocal gifts. I've already done teaching on the other two. This category includes tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. This topic is a topic that many pastors avoid. And I understand, you know, it's difficult because this particularly the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues seem to be a place or a topic that people have real difficulty with. A lot of it has to do with the teachings that have happened in our area and the things that we have been told about tongues and interpretation of tongues, that tongues divide a church, that tongues are of the devil, tongues are not for today. There's all kinds of things that have been taught. But what I found out when I started studying it for myself was that the Bible is very clear. Tongues and interpretation is no different than any other gift, including apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They're giftings that have been added to the church. They have a great purpose, and the purpose is to be able to inform God's people of supernatural things going on. And they're not to be feared. In fact, Paul said they're to be welcomed. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. And that's what has happened. We've become ignorant because we fail to talk about it. And I want to just lay it out and talk about it. I want people to understand there is nothing to fear about tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, you know, is it going to happen every week? Probably not. In fact, I don't want it to happen every week. Now, I'm open to whatever God wants. But there are so many other of these other gifts that need to be in operation. You know, tongues and interpretation is just one of them. It has happened. We embrace it when it does. We make sure it's done decently and in order, and we're going to talk about that. We make sure that these things are done the way God tells us that they should be done, so that there is no disruption, there is no disorder, there is no riot. And we'll talk a little bit about that too, because that's what the word really means. Out of order, chaos. And when Paul said that, I want everything to be done decently and in order. So here's what we want to talk about this morning in regards to spiritual gifts. I want you to know that spiritual gifts are for today. They're to operate in the body of Christ. And we're going to embrace those gifts here at Bethel. Amen? Okay. If you've not heard these kind of teachings before, please, I'm going to give you some scripture, but it's going to take you personally to look into the scripture for yourself to find out what it says. Don't let me or anyone else tell you what the Bible says. I'm going to skim through this morning because we don't have hours to go through it. But we're going to talk about some things that are extremely important. And if you will take these scripture, follow up on these scripture that I give you, you will find out that the scripture is very clear about the operation of spiritual gifts. And we need, and I know, listen, I understand that some of you have been, what term should I use? I mean, maybe hurt at times in the past by spiritual gifts. Offended maybe by spiritual gifts because they didn't operate properly. Listen, we do not encourage sidewalk or parking lot prophecies. We want you to be taught how to operate in the gift. And we want it to be used in a way that you are lifted up and edified and encouraged, and other prophets or other people with the gifting can judge it. That's what the Bible tells us to do. And I don't want anybody to be injured by spiritual gifts. Well, it's not the spiritual gifts they're injured by. It's people who are operating out of control. Yes. So we want to keep it in control. Amen. You know, I'm thinking about a story that I heard about a housewife who had a parakeet. And one day she was cleaning her house, and she was using her vacuum, and she decided to clean out the parakeet's cage with her vacuum cleaner. And as she was cleaning out, the phone rang, and she was distracted. And whoosh, the parakeet was swept up into the vacuum. She dropped the vacuum, she dropped the phone, she opened it up, and there was Chippy, her parakeet. Before all this happened, Chippy would sit around and sing, and just, he made her, she loved to hear him sing. And she saw him sitting there, and he was just sitting there, but he was a mess. He was all dirty and dusty. She grabbed him, she ran into the bathroom, turned both faucets on full blast, stuck him under the water, and washed him off. And then she saw her hair dryer laying there. She picked it up and turned it on full blast, heat as hot as she could get it, and dried him off. When she was done, he was all fluffy, and he looked like a stuffed animal. She took him and she put him back in the cage. A few days later, she had told some friends about it. A few days later, a friend called. And she said, "How's Chippy doing?" She said, "Well, Chippy doesn't sing anymore. Chippy just sits and stares. Poor, poor Chippy." Now listen, I tell you that silly little story because I want you to understand there are some people in the body of Christ that feel like they've been injured by spiritual gifts. And now, and rather than take the chance, they just sit and stare. Yeah. They're not willing to engage. I want you to be engaged. God didn't hurt you. People will hurt you. And I want to tell you something. I can't guarantee you that no one will hurt you. It'll happen. People are people. Sometimes you get hurt and they don't even know they've hurt you. They didn't intentionally hurt you. Other times, people are mean. I mean, no, just because somebody calls them a Christian doesn't mean they're going to be nice and fluffy. Right? That's what we should be. We should be kind and respectful and loving. That's a real Christian. But doesn't mean just because they say that, they're going to be. Things do happen. But listen, these gifts of the Spirit are so important to the body of Christ for us to be able to pull down the strongholds of the enemy and stand against the wiles of the devil. We need them. Don't run from them. Amen. Embrace them. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about these gifts. I believe that people have an intrinsic desire for the supernatural experience. Otherwise, you know, why do you seek God in the first place? You're looking for supernatural things to happen. But you know what? People come in with a desire for supernatural things to happen. And you know what the church does? The church tells them, well, those things don't happen anymore. Or once in a while, those things can happen. But not every day. You can't expect the supernatural all the time. We live in a physical world. So, you know, just don't expect that. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that we are a spirit being. And our God is a spirit. And we're connected to our God through Jesus Christ. And when we're connected to that spirit being, supernatural things should be happening in our life on a daily basis. And we can expect it. You can expect it. You can be excited about your day every day you get up because something supernatural is going to happen. Amen. Something awesome, something good, something great. In this scripture, it talks about different kinds of tongues. Now that different, or in the King James, it uses the word divers. It means different. And the word was actually, that word was put there. So the original just says language or tongues. And tongues in the Greek is glossia. It's a dialect used by a particular people, distinct from that of other nations. And when we're talking about this particular different kind of tongues, we're talking about spiritual tongues. The gift of tongues is the gift of speaking supernaturally in an unknown tongue or unknown language, a direct communication with God. Okay, the first thing I want to share with you this morning is that in order for these things to occur in our life, I believe we need to back up a little bit and say, hey, wait a minute, something needs to take place in your life. You need to receive the fullness of the Spirit of God. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, it says that signs will follow us. And these signs will follow those who believe. It doesn't say signs will follow Pastor Rob. Signs will follow Pastor Otis or Ivy or Tammy or whoever. Benny Hinn. Doesn't say that. It says signs will follow them that believe. Do you believe? We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in His power. In my name, they're going to cast out devils. Hallelujah. Do we need to cast out devils in the name of Jesus Christ? Yes, sir. They'll speak with new tongues. Once again, there we are talking about this new language. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, now it's not telling us to go around playing with snakes. But the enemy is a snake, and we can take up that snaky serpent, and we can cast him down in the name of Jesus Christ. If they accidentally drink any deadly thing, I just added that, of course, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Those are supernatural experiences that the body of Christ is supposed to have and walk in. Yes, hallelujah for that. So we must understand that this baptism of the Holy Spirit, or fullness of the Spirit, is something that is for each and every believer in Jesus Christ. And I want to move along here as quickly as possible. Let's look real quickly at Acts chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place. The day of Pentecost was an annual feast that the Jewish people had. It was 50 days after Passover. And Passover, of course, was the time when Christ was crucified on the cross. 50 days later, the church of Jesus Christ was born by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Listen, that right there should tell you that tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of tongues is not of the devil. Because the Spirit of God was poured out on God's people. Those who were in the upper room praying, the 120, they were waiting for something to happen. And hallelujah, the Spirit was poured out upon them. And the first thing they did was speak in tongues. They wasn't glorifying the devil. They were glorifying Almighty God. They're lifting Him up. So whoever told you that tongues is of the devil was lying. Curtis told me the other day, he spent a lot of time in the bars. And if the tongues was of the devil, he don't understand why he never heard it there. Right. Not once. Now praise God, God delivered him from that. And now he does speak in tongues. And he glorifies God. It's so awesome. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues and give and gave as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gave them the power to be able to do so. And I want you to understand that this baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we understand it in Acts 1:5, it says, "For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days now." That's why we refer to it as baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the fullness of the Spirit. This is why we're referring to this topic this morning, is because I want you to understand this baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you for today. It has nothing to do with your salvation, but it has everything to do with God instilling you with the power to become a witness for Him. Power to walk in these gifts that we're talking about. Power to be able to reach people for Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand something. During this period of time when they were having Pentecost, the Jewish people, some of the things they needed to do, it was three feasts that they had to present themselves at: Tabernacles, Passover, and Pentecost. And Pentecost was the last one. Pentecost took place on the seventh week, the 50th day after the Sabbath, beginning the Passover. I misspoke there. Pentecost was the second one. Now, they brought sacrifices. One of the other things that they did, they brought a free will offering to God on the day of Pentecost, which I think is extremely important, because of their free will, they presented, those 120 presented themselves to God. They stayed there in that room free of their own free will to receive the fullness of the Spirit. God doesn't force anything on people. You have to desire. You have to want it. You have to ask for it. But if you will, of your own free will, God will pour out upon you. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit many, many years ago, not too long after I received Christ as my personal Savior. We just had a specific, we were praying, having a preparation for a revival that was going on, and we were all gathered around, and I asked Linda Well to pray for me. She laid hands on me, prayed for me, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand, it's not something to fear. It's something that you release yourself, and you just allow the Spirit of God to come upon you and speak through you. Sometimes people will speak immediately in an unknown language, a spiritual prayer language that we're talking about this morning. And sometimes that comes later. You know, Bob, we prayed for Bob Taylor. We were having special classes, and we were teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We prayed for him. He did not speak immediately in tongues. On his way home, though, got in the car and started out the road, and he said all the way home, he prayed in the Spirit. You know, he released it. He said, you know, he had asked me about it, and I said, well, you just got to open your mouth and speak. And that's what he did. Praise God. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something we want, something we embrace. Okay, the first thing I want to point out about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that is, that there are two types. After you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there are two manifestations of the gift of tongues. The first one is the prayer language that I just mentioned, and the second is the interpretation, tongues and interpretation of tongues. The prayer language, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So what we're talking about here is praying in the spirit or praying in tongues, speaking and praying in a heavenly language that allows the believer to communicate directly with God, uninterrupted by the enemy or the cares of the world. So, these two things take place. We receive a prayer language and then the opportunity to be used in the gift of tongues and interpretation. Praying and singing in the Spirit, remember what this scripture said, is direct communication with God. We don't understand it. God understands it. But it's something that needs to happen. For he who speaks, 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Hallelujah. You're not going to understand what you're saying. Someone, most of the time, people around you, if you are praying in the Spirit in a group of people, you're not going to understand and they're not going to understand. You're communicating directly with God. This is an incredible gift that has been given to us. It's a weapon that we have to be able to thwart the wiles of the enemy because he cannot hinder. How many have been praying before in the natural praying and the enemy just, you get all kinds of thoughts and go in so many different directions? Amen. That's what the enemy does to us. But when you're praying in the Spirit, he cannot intercede in that. He cannot enter into it. You have direct communication with Almighty God. I think it's awesome that God has given us such a powerful weapon to be able to pray in the Spirit.
That's right.
In 1941, December 7th, 1941, the United States was attacked at Pearl Harbor by the Japanese. And the Japanese, it was a surprise attack. I mean, we lost many men and ships. And the next day, the United States entered into World War II. We were crippled because of all the ships that were destroyed. And also, every battle that we seemed to go into after that, we had difficulty. It seemed like the enemy knew exactly what we were doing. And finally, the higher ranks of the military came to the conclusion that so many of the Japanese had been educated in the United States and were very fluent in English, American English, that it was very easy for them to decode our messages. And they realized, hey, we got to do something. Well, they didn't know what they were going to do, but a man by the name of Johnston, Philip Johnston, who was a civil engineer, had an idea. And he contacted a major general by the name of Clayton. Maybe his last name was Clayton, I believe. But Major General, and this Major General listened to what he had to say, and he told this general that he had been raised by missionary parents, and he was raised on the Navajo Nation, the Navajo Reservation. And he was one of just a handful of people who understood the Navajo language other than the Navajo. So he said, I don't think there's anybody in the world that could decipher this language. So he set up this military live combat, staging of a combat situation where he brought some Navajos in. And he set it up for the general and his staff. And this guy, during this time, the Navajo were able to encode, send, and decode their messages, three-line messages, in less than 20 seconds. These were the kind of messages that it took a machine 30 minutes to decode. The military was impressed. So the military put into place a program. They brought in, they recruited 29 Navajos. They started training them. Those Navajos set up a program, and they began to institute this program. At the Battle of Iwo Jima, a major who was a communication specialist by the name of Connor had six of these Navajo working for him. By the way, these Navajo became the military secret weapon. They were so secret that they didn't declassify their presence or their use until the late 60s. They were that secret. But Connor said that having these Navajo working for him, they were able to encode and transmit 800 messages during the Battle of Iwo Jima, which went on for several days. And during that battle, not one of those messages was an error. They were all completely understood. It was completely incredible that they were able to do that. Later, Connor said, were it not for the Navajo, the Battle of Iwo Jima would have been lost. They called these men wind talkers. And they spoke a language that nobody else understood. They communicated with the higher ranks to be able to overcome the enemy and do great damage to the enemy's camp. I want you to understand, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is that we're wind talkers. I'm a wind talker. I have a language. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I speak in tongues more than all of you, and I'm proud of it. When I speak in tongues, when I pray in the Spirit, my communication goes directly to my Heavenly Father, and He downloads things to me that I could not receive any other way. Amen. We're wind talkers. You can be a wind talker. Amen. The enemy cannot get in and thwart the plans of Almighty God because you can be a wind talker. Amen. Come on, sir. God desires that in your life. Amen. He's calling you, giving you this opportunity. This morning, He desires it. So praying in the Spirit is one of the things. Praying in the Spirit edifies the individual. We understand that. We speak in tongues. Whoever speaks in tongues himself edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. It is personal edification. Edify means to build up, repair, promote, grow. When an individual prays in the Spirit, he builds up. He's built up in wisdom. He's built up in grace, virtue, holiness. The Apostle Paul said this, I wish you all, 1 Corinthians 14:5. You all spoke in tongues. But when it comes to edifying the church, prophecy is more important. Now, he's not telling you not to speak, not to pray in the Spirit in the congregation. He's telling you, he's giving them a teaching. Now, remember, all these teachings about the gifts of the Spirit are guidance on how to operate in these gifts in a congregational meeting. That's what Paul's doing. He's giving them directions on how to operate properly in the body of Christ. As the body of Christ, when we worship the Lord. So he's not saying to you, don't ever pray in the Spirit when you congregate. No, he's saying, listen, I would that you pray in tongues. That's a good thing, pray in the Spirit. But it's more important, or very important, to communicate with people so that they understand what's going on. If all you ever do is come in this place, you come together and you all pray in the Spirit and then you go home, what about the people who are here who have no idea what's going on? They'll think you're all crazy, and rightfully so. That's why We come together. We can pray in the Spirit. We can pray with our understanding. We can sing in the Spirit, and we can sing with the understanding. The apostles given us directions on how this is supposed to be done for all of us. The second thing is tongues and interpretation of tongues. And I want to move along with this quickly as possible here. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, we have taken that scripture and he said, keep silent. We're in the church. We've taken that to mean that Paul is saying, sit down and shut up. But he's not saying that at all. In reality, Paul is saying, speak to himself. Now, he's not saying that you just speak inside yourself. The word speak there means to utter, to voice it. So if you stand up and you give an interpretation or give a tongues and nobody interprets that tongues, don't worry about it. Go back to your seat, sit back down, continue to worship God, pray in the Spirit. Either God wasn't moving in that particular situation or somebody else is missing God. It's not always your fault. Come on. What are we afraid of? We're afraid that somebody's going to think that we're not hearing from God. Well, let me tell you something. We don't all always hear from God. We get ourselves in the way. But that's okay. God's able to work past that. Every day, every time. Don't get hung up on these things that the scriptures tell us. Sit down. He's not saying sit down and shut up. He's saying sit down and continue worshiping the living God. A lot of people say that tongues and interpretation, when it was poured out on the day of Pentecost, that was a one-time experience, wasn't supposed to happen. Well, that, I think the Apostle Paul tells us otherwise. I want you all to speak in tongues. I would that you speak in tongues. Do not forbid to speak in tongues. This is a gift God has given us. And let me tell you something. Lots of folks believe that the language that was spoken that day, that they were speaking in all the languages of the time, because this, the Holy Spirit gives us a direction on that. Let me just share this with you. Acts chapter 2, verse 6. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Now, that right there is what I want you to focus on. It's very possible. I'm not making a doctrine of this, but it's very possible that the supernatural gift that took place that day was the people heard and it was interpreted to them in their language, not necessarily that they were speaking that particular language. They were speaking a heavenly language. And the people heard them speak in their own language. In verse 8, it says, and now it is that we hear each in our own language. So when Peter stood up and was speaking in that tongues that first day, however many, we don't know how many, I read different amounts, somewhere between 20 or 70 different languages was present. Those sitting there beside one another who spoke different languages possibly heard Peter in their own language. Whatever, I don't care what the situation was. It was a miracle from God. And it's a miracle that he continues to use today in the body of Christ. It's a miracle we get to have. Now, there are guidelines that we need to operate in. In 1 Corinthians 14:27, if anyone speaks in tongues, let there be two or at the most three each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Sit down, continue to praise God, But there needs to be an interpretation. So that's what we look for. Somebody says, hey, I believe I've got a tongues. We work through that. We allow it to happen. The tongues comes forth, and then we wait for an interpretation. It comes most of the time. You know, if it doesn't, we're not going to worry about it. God's moving in other ways. We're going to move on and continue to worship the living God. That's what we're here for. We're not here to get caught up in whether this one heard from God or not. We're going to worship God. God is still on the throne, and he's still operating in the gifts of the Spirit today among us, in our lives. Remember, Paul's giving us instructions on how to conduct ourselves properly in this church service. And here's what he says. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Hallelujah. That's awesome. This is our conclusion. We'll do it in the spirit. We'll do it with our understanding. Whatever we do, we glorify and praise the living God. Because that's what we're called to. Have you heard people say that tongues disrupts a church service? Well, when it's done properly in order, it does not disrupt. When we follow the guidelines that have been given to us, Paul tells us, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God didn't come to create confusion. If confusion surrounds tongues, we say, oh, wait a minute, this is not proper and in order. But when it's done properly and in order, it edifies, encourages, and lifts up the body of Christ. Yes. That's what it's all about. Amen. That's right. And I'm sorry that in the past you may have experienced a situation where it wasn't done decently in order, but that doesn't mean that God's not in it today in this place. We believe he is. I believe God desires for the body of Christ to be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you become a wind talker. Direct communication with Almighty God. I'm going to ask you to stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and his kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.